Returning to Matthew 6, and I'm going to read my text, which is verse 33. I would commend to you the latter verses here. We will be referring to them, and verses that I'm sure you know very well at the closing part of chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel. If we had time, I would read from verse 24 to the end of the chapter. Maybe we'll get to do that next Lord's Day. But let me read my text. I'm going to think about the kingdom of God. And the Savior has something to tell us about the kingdom of God in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Isn't it good to know the many truths that the Lord speaks about here in these closing verses of the chapter? Isn't it good to know that the Lord knows, as verse 32 tells us, that we have need of all these things, the things that he's mentioned in these concluding verses? So the message here is a message for those indeed who might be anxious. It's a message for those that worry. All these things is repeated in these verses of Scripture. The Lord knows that we have need of all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's a message for the anxious person, those that are burdened with the various troubles and cares of this life. It's for the Marthas in the Christian church. Martha, Martha, said our dear Savior, thou art careful and troubled about many things, and we just need to put our name in there so often. Make it that personal. We are careful and we are troubled so often about many things. We fit this bill. And yet the Savior is teaching we're not to be burdened down unnecessarily with anxiety and distress. Same thought taken up by Paul when he says, be careful for nothing. In the context, Jesus is highlighting matters such as food, drink, and clothing. If you look back at verse 25, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And I think we need to understand this in a biblical context and go back, if we can, to the period in which Jesus lived, to these New Testament times 2,000 years ago, when people did worry about their daily necessities of life. We don't fully understand this or appreciate it in Western civilization, but put yourself maybe even today in Africa or India or China or Nepal, and maybe not so far away, we think of Eastern Europe. And some of you have been to Romania and try to understand how people struggle with the very basics of life, having them, obtaining them day by day. I'll never forget one of the first times that I visited Romania, going out into the mountains to a little gypsy village, a remote area, cut off from other civilization. These people lived very simply, but they had very little. We went into a home, just two rooms, mother, father, and six children. We saw what the children were expected to eat. It was just a little piece of molded bread lying in a cupboard. It was brought out. We saw it. We brought loaves with us, loaves of bread on that occasion. If I went to your home to visit and I brought you a loaf of bread, you just might look at me. But you know, that was so precious to them, just to get a loaf of bread. And it's really understanding it more in this kind of context. I saw how those people dressed, shabby clothes that were torn clothes that were too small for them, but it was all that they had. And these are worries that people have, eating, drinking, clothing, and with many other worries besides that which we eat and that which we put on. There are health issues, paying bills from week to week, losing loved ones, trouble with our neighbors, distress in our family, some child maybe in the family that has fallen into sin or fallen into some kind of addiction. And these problems are very real that we face as the Lord's people. Cares that we must cast upon the Savior who cares for us. And yet Jesus says, take no thought. The word is care. Take no care. Do not be burdened unnecessarily. Do not be worried about the things of this earth. We ought to be troubled about spiritual matters. Paul carried a burden in his heart for the churches. And in 2 Corinthians 11, having spoken about all the exterior problems and all the difficulties that he had to face as a preacher and as a missionary of the gospel, he went on to speak about the things that were within the church. And he talked about the care of all the churches. And Paul had a heart for the people of God. And he cared for the congregations. And Timothy possessed a similar burden in his heart for the well-being spiritually of the souls of men. And Paul spoke about that also regarding Timothy in Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. But we're not to be anxious or to be careful about our daily physical needs. Some go through life tormented in mind, constantly living in doubt and distrust. God has promised to provide for his children those things that are needful in life. And so by way of encouragement and instruction, the Savior tells us to do two things in this passage. You'll note the word behold in verse 26 and also the word consider in verse 28. In verse 26, the Savior says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And the word behold there means to look attentively. And the Lord wants you to look here. And he wants you to learn from what he's saying in this verse. And he uses the word consider in verse 28. And the thought of the word there is to consider so as to learn. And that's the way we ought to contemplate things. Consider them so that we learn by them. And Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And he uses this also as a teaching lesson. God provides for the birds, those creatures of the air. He provides for them every day. Are you not much better than they are? Asks the Savior. Of course we are. If you're a Christian, you're his child. You are his heir. You were bought with the precious blood of the Savior. And then we think of the lilies which clothe the fields of the earth. And if God does that, he is also teaching, will he not clothe you? So we're being taught here that he is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide all that I have needed. His hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. He says in verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The nations out there, the Savior says, seek for these things. Such worry and care belongs to the world because they know no better. This world is their joy, their contentment, their satisfaction. They hanker after the things of this life. They've set their treasure upon things on earth. But we are strangers here in this world as God's people. We're just passing through. Our heart is set on heavenly things, or ought to be. We trust in the providence of God, and we trust in his gracious promises. My God shall supply all your need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then we have the repeated exhortation, take therefore no thought. You have it here in verse 34. We have it also in verse 35, take no thought. We have it in verse 27, really, when Jesus says, "When which of you, by taking thought," and the next verse, "Why take ye thought?" And then verse 31, "Therefore take no thought." And verse 34, as we've mentioned, "Take therefore no thought." Now, the Lord does not give emphasis to anything in vain. If Jesus has something to say, no matter what that matter is about, we ought to sit up and listen and pay attention to what the Savior has to teach. But if for any reason he has something to emphasize, something to repeat, and we've seen there in those many verses that he's saying to us, "Take therefore no thought, take no care," well then we should doubly sit up and understand what the Lord is seeking to teach us from his word. The Lord does not want us to be filled with cares and anxieties and to live in worry. Our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of better than we know ourselves. So we're not to be weighed down with care. Rather, we're to put first things first. That's what the Lord is teaching here. Put God at the top of the list, and everything else will fall into place. Is that what the text is teaching? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here is counsel for all of God's people. It's counsel for the new convert. If you're just saved in recent days, here's a word for you. It's counsel for the newlywed. Folks in our congregation, if you've recently been married, the Lord wants you to put him first. And as a word, a text that is almost invariably mentioned on a wedding day, here in Matthew 6:33, if I don't quote it, other family members will, giving good advice to young people as they start out in life together. It's counsel for young people in education. It's counsel for those going out into employment, for Christians who are seeking the mind and the will of God, for any situation in life, whatever the circumstance, whatever the problem, whatever the desire, whatever you're facing, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want to think about this with you for a little time, just as we draw towards the end of our service today. I want you to think about the choice place here that Jesus is referring to. He talks about the kingdom of God. We must set our eyes upon the kingdom of God and follow after God's righteousness. One of our Bible commentators put it very well when he said, "We must mind heaven as our end and holiness as our way." It is often the chief concern of men in the world to seek after the physical, the body. It becomes all-consuming. How we look, those things are the absorbing things. Health issues, exercise, fitness and training, their masculinity or their femininity. These things become their chief attraction. It's all about appearance, physical appearance, fitness and health. Jesus says, take no thought for your life, nor for your body. He's referring to physical life. This ought not to be your chief concern. No, the kingdom of God is the important thing. The things that pertain to the soul are infinitely more important than those things that pertain to the body. I sometimes wonder about those who are excessive in their physical training, but they give little attention to the spiritual. And I'm referring here to those who profess to be saved. We might well excuse people out in the world who are not Christians and who do not know anything better. Maybe footballers out there or athletes or whoever they might be. But what about the Christian? It's the disciple of Christ that Jesus is speaking to here. Sometimes think about the Sabbath days, and as we prepare ourselves for the house of God, What time is given to physical preparation to make ourselves presentable, and what preparation is made in the heart, made in the soul, as we get before God, preparing ourselves for the worship of God in a service like this. Your soul and eternal happiness is infinitely more important than anything else that you can imagine. It's the one needful thing. This matter ought to concern us, trouble us, move us, excite us. Jesus is drawing attention to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Need I remind you that the word dom is the abbreviation for dominion. The kingdom, where the king has dominion. That's the thought as we think about the word here. The thought is where Christ is king, where he is recognized as such in his dominion. And there is application particularly to the eternal kingdom of God. And we think of heaven. So we say to all that are here, seek heaven. As Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. You make sure that you're seeking for heaven. You make it your business to make sure that you're bound for glory, that you've settled the matter of your salvation, that you're heading to the eternal kingdom of God in glory. And of course, there's an application to the Christian church, the visible church. As we think of the kingdom of God, we must endeavor to make Christ king in the church, in our lives, in all that we do here in our service for him. And by the way, God moves through his church. He has a body in which he operates, and that is his church on earth. He doesn't teach in the Bible independency or isolation. God moves through his church. And so as we think of the choice place, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we can say that there is a commencement of it, there's a continuance in it, and there is a great climax of it. My friends, it begins when we're brought by faith into the eternal kingdom of God by the experience of the new birth. And we will have reason here to think about Nicodemus and to reflect upon John chapter 3 and verse 3, where the Savior says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the eternal kingdom. He cannot see heaven. Once we have entered into that kingdom, we continue to serve the Lord as king for the rest of our days. So the commencement of it is when we enter the kingdom through the new birth and we're saved by the grace of God. Have you entered that kingdom? The continuance of it is through life, right to the end of the journey here upon earth. And then, of course, the climax of it is on that great day when Jesus comes again and the saints of God receive their glorified bodies. And so shall we ever be with the Lord to continue with him forever and to serve him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Seeking his righteousness goes hand in hand with his kingdom, for it's a kingdom of righteousness. And again, there is the beginning of this seeking when we come to acquire the righteousness of Christ and redemption. The truth of the matter is that we are, as Charles Wesley put it, all unrighteousness. And we are vile and full of sin. In our natural state before regeneration takes place, we are guilty, lost, hell-deserving sinners. Deserving nothing but a lost eternity for all of God's eternity, even in our best efforts, those things that we might term as our righteousness, or the Bible puts it in the plural, our righteousnesses. These things are nothing but filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. Oh, that some sinner here might be brought to see their true condition in the light of a holy God, all unrighteousness, full of sin. I must come seeking his righteousness. It's the righteousness of the one who is known as Jehovah said, can you? the Lord our righteousness. The Reverend Robert Murray McShane penned a beautiful hymn that speaks in these terms. I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. Though friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree, Jehovah said, can you, was nothing to me. McShane went on to express his tears over sin, sins that had nailed Christ to the cross, and how free grace awoke him and legal fears shook him, and how that he trembled to die. My friend, have you ever been brought to the place where you have trembled to die in the light of the great eternity of God? McShane was brought to the place where he fled to Christ for safety, and he drank at the fountain of life. And then his testimony changed as the hymn progresses, and he's brought to say, Jehovah said, can you, is all things to me. May that be so of you. May God make you to see your sins. Sins that have nailed his blessed Son to Calvary's tree. May you be shaken. May you tremble to die. May you flee to Christ for his righteousness, the only covering that is acceptable with God. And then may you purpose in your heart to live afterwards righteously by grace and divine power. And dear Christian, may this be your desire every day of your life, seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. We've been out in the doors this week. Many of you have been working for the gospel mission. We've had the privilege of sharing the gospel with poor souls who are in need of Christ. We have stood at doors. The Lord has given us opportunity to stand at doors and be a witness for him. We stood at a door this week and the man was very willing to listen. For over an hour, we had opportunity to speak of Christ and to tell him about God's salvation. And before we left, we did ask for permission to pray. And just there standing at the doorstep, we prayed for this man that the Lord would save him and save his wife and save his family. We've had the opportunity to go into homes and to share the gospel. And we thank God for the soul that professed faith in Christ this week. What a joy it was to be there, present with two other members of this church, and to see this lady call upon the name of the Lord that she might be saved. May the Lord help us at this mission time to make it our business to seek his kingdom and to seek his righteousness among men, that it might be extended at this time, and that men might be clothed upon with the righteousness of Christ. Have you got the covering? Just as I leave this point, I ask you the question, have you got this covering? The righteousness of God's dear Son. Can you say, I am covered over with the robe of righteousness my Father gave to me. I am fully covered with the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for me. And when he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. I want you to notice, secondly, that there is a commanding pursuit. I want you to mark the word seek. Jesus says we are to seek his kingdom, and we are to seek his righteousness. Christ is reminding us of our duty and solemn responsibility here to seek. The word seek means to pursue. It means to run after. It means to diligently search for. This is the language of the Bible. I am reminded of the words of the evangelical prophet when he said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. I think of the words of Hosea and the very text of Scripture as you leave the house of God here at the back of the church. It's time to seek the Lord. That is your responsibility. That is the requirement that God Almighty has laid upon you, to seek him. Some of you have been halting, of course, Some of you have been holding back. Some of you have been delaying in this matter of seeking the Lord. But God wants you to seek Him. And here's the promise, a lovely promise from the Old Testament Scriptures, from Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29. If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him. If thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Oh God, instill into the hearts of those that are present with us today that from our perspective, there is this serious matter. We have this responsibility. We must seek the Lord. Why are you not saved? Why are you not saved? Because you have not sought the Lord. That's why you're not saved. If you obey His command, you'll find Him. And in Him you will have life and salvation and heaven itself. You must pursue this. You must give diligence to it. You must make sure. You must resolve in your heart that you do not come short of this, what the Lord is speaking about here. You know, all else is in vain if we come short of heaven at the end of the day. You know, it doesn't matter about anything else, really. It doesn't matter that we have been charitable, and it's good to be that. It doesn't matter that we have been kind to others or thoughtful in the way that we have conducted ourselves with other people. It doesn't matter that we've been religious or even faithful to the house of God than we ought to be. It doesn't matter that we've been prayerful or studious in the Word of God. If we fail to make heaven, oh my friend, seek it earnestly, diligently, wholeheartedly, energetically. Seek it on the grounds of the blood and the righteousness of the one who is Jehovah, said can you? For nothing else will do, and no other merit will count. Why are you not saved? Because you haven't sought Him. Christian, why are you not satisfied? For the same reason. You have not obeyed the text. You have not sought the Lord in these matters. And I'm speaking to Christians here. You have not earnestly sought for His kingdom and His righteousness. If this was your search, if this was the desire of your soul, you would be satisfied. Because the text tells us that you will be. We are to aim for these things. There's a choice place. There's a commanding pursuit. There's a crucial priority. And here I want you to underscore a little word first. It's important. Don't miss it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let your concern for your soul and the world to come take place over any other concern that you have. And there's many things that are sought after in this life. And many of them in and of themselves are legitimate. We seek for health. Not a wrong thing to seek for health. We seek for our daily bread. We pray it here in the Lord's Prayer. We seek for shelter. We seek for education. We seek for knowledge. We seek for love. We seek for friendship. We seek for relationship. We seek for employment. All these things, so many of them, but all of them must be subordinate to that which should occupy our chief pursuit and most important ambition. And what is it? God's kingdom and His righteousness. Jesus is saying here, let it be top of your list. Let it be the most fervent desire of your soul. Let it be number one in your priority. Seek first the things of our Savior. The things our Savior speaks of in the text must be first, because they are the best things and they are the most valuable. Do you know anything else that's better? Anything else that's happier, purer, or nobler? Certainly not. We need to get our priorities right. Keep God in His rightful place, and that's first. Let it be first in your youth. Young people today, Potentially, you have all life out there. And as you progress through life, there are 1,000 calls that will come ringing in your ear. And these calls will say to you, seek me, pursue me, follow me, give your heart to me. All these things, they're crying out. But if you are to be happy in time and for eternity, you must make God your first choice. Let the morning of your youth be dedicated to God. And let it be first in your day. It's the best way to begin any day of life's journey. Let your waking thoughts be of God and how you can pursue God each day in all that you do. Time has fairly much gone, but I just want to come to my final point here. There's a certain promise. What's the promise of Christ? All these things shall be added unto you. All these things. The necessary things. The needful things. The things that you require, like those that are mentioned in the context of our Savior's words. These things will be added unto you. Super added. Or given over and above, as we may read the text. This is the promise of Christ. You shall have what you seek, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, for no one ever sought that in vain who sought in earnest. And besides that, God will add over and above. You will have food and raiment and a good supply of other things. When God is first and his kingdom is your heart's chief desire and the pursuit of righteousness, the longing of your soul, all other things that you need and desire will be added by way of bountiful supply. Christ says it here, they'll be added unto you. When God is first, you will have true satisfaction, for God will add to you what he has promised to give. You know, very few people know the difference between addition and subtraction mathematically when it comes to Christianity. There are those who suppose if they seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that somehow everything else will be subtracted from them, that they're going to be the loser. No, my friend, God says there will be additions. That doesn't mean that you'll become rich in worldly terms, for God pays in better coinage. He will add to you all things that you require in this life. That is his guarantee. That's the promise of the Savior. Godliness has the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And just as we close, perhaps we could mention one of the outstanding examples, and that's Solomon. And Solomon sought first those things that were spiritual, and God was pleased to add other things to his life. And one of the places that we read this is in 2 Chronicles, in the chapter 1, and verses 11 and 12. God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, as he asked the Lord to give him wisdom, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. No, he didn't ask the Lord when the Lord came to him that night and said, ask what ye will. He didn't say, Lord, make me wealthy. He didn't even say, Lord, make me healthy and give me a long life. No, he said, Lord, make me wise and give me your knowledge, that I might be what you want me to be in the kingdom over which I now govern. And God gave him those spiritual desires, and he added unto him so much else. What a blessed change it would bring to our lives if this text was our reality. If we give diligence to make sure that God's kingdom and his righteousness is truly our chief desire. Jehovah said, can you? The Lord our righteousness. If that was our chief desire, then the Lord will be to us Jehovah Jireh, and he will provide all other things that are good for us as he sees fit, and more we could not wish for. If we have trusted him for the portion of our inheritance at the end, can we not trust him for the portion of our cup as we journey through life to the end? Of course we can. Now, let there be some application for you as you leave the house of God today in light of the mission. The text is appropriate as we think of the next 2 weeks of gospel preaching and all the things that are crying out for our attention. Jesus will say to us now, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. May the Lord help us to put first things first and get our priorities right all the time, but especially now at the mission.